Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Miraj Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 p.m. It gives me great purpose, and once again, I am highly honored and to be able to bring you today's broadcast. We are on for 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. And this is a beautiful month, the month of Ramadan. And we say Ramadan Mubarak, blessing to all those who are fasting and all of those who would like to fast and cannot. To 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world is observing this month of Ramadan. And during this month, we get a lot of barakats. There is only a few people that understand your duties and your obedience to God. It doesn't be said at all times. Why? Because most of your leaders don't want you to know that the only way you are going to be successful in this society while you live is to be obedient to God. Now, we are not perfect at all, brothers and sisters, and we do have flaws. We was not created perfectly. But God says, and I will quote him, if there are a group of people that do not sin, he will erase them from the earth and replace them with one that will sin. Now, that's kind of difficult for one to grasp the understanding of what that means. It's simple. It's common sense if, in fact, you look at it with your five senses, not smell, hear, taste, feel, see. We're not talking about those senses that you can hear things, you can see things, you can smell things, and et cetera. We're talking about your five common sense. Very important. More important than one can ever imagine. Because if, in fact, you will say that the prophet is unlettered, meaning he knew nothing about revelation, nothing about the Torah or the Bible, and it was totally mathematically impossible for the prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, to even know the Quran. The Quran was not even created. But yet, you can say that he was one of the most intelligent men on the face of the planet. Why would I say that? It's because he never lost his common sense. He operated on his common sense, and he built a magnificent reputation as being the trustworthy, the kind, the one that was transparent. All of the good things that you give one, the accolades, you have to give it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And common sense is different than the education of man. Common sense is given to you in the womb of your mother. When you come out of that womb and you escalate, elevate, or evolve in society, then you will understand that he, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, was a very intelligent man. May the peace and blessings be upon him. because he operated in his nature. That is common sense. And when you receive that, and all of us have, we grew up in society and we lost that common sense. And we based and predicated our entire life on society. And we became materialistic in everything that we have done. You cannot make it in this world with Satan coming from your right, your left, your back, your front, and believe that you're going to survive Satan. Only one can help you with Satan is God himself. And so our jobs as rabbis, our jobs as reverends, our job as imam is to give you the common sense of why you have to be obedient to Allah. This broadcast is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. This is the holy month of Ramadan. So I will be on from 7 to 8 so I can break my fast, more important, make my congregation prayer, as well as be obedient to God to the utmost of my ability for the rest of the month. So 1 hour. And then on Tuesday, for over 4 years, I had 7 to 9. 1 hour. Why? Well, I did not have to do Ramadan for the last 3-4 years because when you have sugar diabetes, you have to be very careful. And you cannot fast for food. Now, you do everything else, which I learned personally, is not just abstaining from food. And I will touch on that. But in my personal life, I was forced to take needles, insulin. I can't stand a needle. Used to be fearful of the needles. My mother, as they took me to the dentist as a youngster, and the doctor stuck a needle in my gum. I literally punched him. Oh, was that doctor upset? And I ran out the office. And I didn't come back because I knew my mother would beat me. She finally left the office. I do not know what she said to the doctor. But when she found me outside, she said, boy, you got that Novocaine in you, and you can become ill. I said, mama, he hurt me. My mama didn't beat me. It must have really hurt for her son to be disrespectful. So I never liked needles. And surely back then, put me in the fear of needles. So I never done anything in my life. I was a fanatic, you would say. I ate every 3 days, 72 days, I ate a meal, 1 meal a day, every 72 hours. I was a vegetarian for 10 years. You can't make this up. My wife did not have to cook. She did not have to cook for twice a week for all those years. And I didn't eat things that I was taught to stay away from. And so I was a fanatic. I can say that 20-20 hindsight. But when I turned 50, I was very upset with myself because why? I was told I had sugar diabetes. And when they told me they had to hit me with this needle, I didn't like it. And I kept studying and trying to figure out how could I get off this needle. And my assistant told me to go see this herb doctor. And he said to me, and I will quote, "How long have you been on this needle?" That was the question. And I said, "About 3 months." She said, "I can help you. If, in fact, you shoot this needle for a year, I don't think I could have helped you." So I said, "What do I have to do?" She said, "You have to eat to live." Well, that was amazing to me because she was from Pakistan. But nevertheless, she knew the phrase, eat to live. How to eat to live was by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When I was a youngster, I read a book that says, the less you eat, the longer you will live. And in my mind, I wanted to live for a long time, so I didn't eat much. I had a very strong willpower, but being a martial artist, balanced me. Because if I wasn't fighting in competition, I believe I fought more harder in the dojo than I fought in competition, because you had to fight in that class. But it balanced me, because I'd have been too timid. Be cold, quick, hear noise, can hear a pin drop, or I can write a book on not eating much. So during the month of Ramadan was easy in the sense of eating food. I can abstain from food. Even now, we're caught somewhere and can't get anything to eat, but we have enough food. If one would eat for that week, they can eat it. I don't have to. Mind over matter. That's the way I was in martial art. You cannot beat me. Mind over matter. I didn't care how tough they claim you is, how big you were. It's always mind over matter. I had an ability to study what I wanted to be better than the next one. And I came up with the conclusion is repetition. So if you repetition in training how to destroy, to attack and destroy, to prevent someone to hurt, it's the same way with knowledge. You have to obtain it. You got to be repetition in it. Same way with your five senses. If you know how important the five senses are, you will give it all you have, and you'll be repetition with it. So I come up with the clue. It was a clue, a thought, that if God gave me something in the womb of my mother named common sense, then it's more powerful than man giving you an education. Because God's will is greater than any man's will. So I operated on my five senses. And I faced everything predicated on do it make sense. So it's common. So Allah has given this to all of us, but we lose it because why? We don't use it. That which you don't use, you will lose it. If you don't use your eyes to see, you will lose your sight. If you don't utilize your muscles, you will lose it. If you don't have the willpower to stop eating, you will come obesity. Everything has a matter that God gives to us. And there's a law. There's a law that you have to obey. So in the Holy Quran, Allah teaches you of what you should be abstaining from, forbid it to eat, to do. It's in the Quran. All you have to do is be obedient to God, and you will make it in this society and restrain from all the temptation that allows you to fall victim. Now, it is said that our father, our original father, Adam, cursed the world. No, brothers and sisters, don't let nobody tell you that. That's a story to get you away from Adam. Adam cursed the world, and Jesus, thousands of years later, died for your sins. Isn't that amazing? By now, you should come to your common sense and say, something wrong with this picture. But I'm not here to teach you about your daddy, Adam. But I will say to you that they do not want you to be like Adam. So what did they say? He cursed the world. Today, if your mama told you, your daddy is no good, your daddy don't take care of us, your daddy's out there with another woman, your daddy this, your daddy that, your daddy this, your daddy that, and you're 3 years old, you will not like your daddy, would you? You don't even want his name to be mentioned when you come 10 or 11. Daddy is destroyed by mama because she never told you the good you have done. She only instilled in you that something is wrong with your daddy. Now, that's your daddy you can touch and feel, the one that planted the seed into the womb. And if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here. So what about Adam? He cursed the world. Why do I care about Adam? You see how Satan works? He works back then, he works back now. He works his deceitful and trickery and conning and allow you to go the wrong way. So I'm here to tell you, yes, your daddy slipped. He didn't obey God. But what they don't tell you, that your daddy repented. That's what God wants. So if you commit a sin, you can't come to anybody but God himself. And that's why man has ability to sin. But he has a great ability to repent. Anytime you repent for that which you did yesterday, Allah erases from you if you repent. But if you just do it with no conscience that you're going to continue to do it, he will never be blessed with erasing that what you did yesterday. So this month, during the holy month of Ramadan, allows 1,500,000,000 men and women, as well as children, that choose to do Ramadan. We can't make our child to do Ramadan. We have to be humble enough to say they have to grow into it. But there are children comes and do Ramadan immediately. How do I know that? I have quite a few of them that took on Ramadan at the age of 4 years old. Four. And some five. 5 years old. You don't tell them that. You can't teach that. They just watch you at 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years, two years. They're seeing you going down inside your prayer. They hear the Adam call, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is their nature. They're Muslims in their nature. We all are Muslims in their nature, but they just come out the womb. So nobody has gotten to them. Mama protects that baby. At least she tries to protect the baby. It's Allah that protects the baby. And that's another thing I want to speak about today. the baby in the womb of the mother. During the Holy Month of Ramadan allows you to read the Holy Quran. And everything I'm saying to you is in that Quran. Anything small is in that Quran. Anything on a major level is in that Quran. Everything that you have done, meaning history, is reward of all research. Everything you are doing now, meaning the present, is in the Holy Quran. And everything you're going to do for the future is in the Holy Quran. And if, in fact, you live, brothers and sisters, for 1,000 years, and we don't know nobody that lived for 1,000 years, even though they say Methuselah lived to be 950. Well, it's questionable or was it not? It's a good metaphor to say if you live to be 1,000, you will not be able to go to the ending of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name, knowledge and wisdom. No. Because Allah says, there is no beginning with God, and there is no ending. But there's a beginning with you and I. And the beginning of you and I is not just that you have been molded and shaped in the womb of your mother, not because you came out of that womb as an infant, the beginning of knowledge. Some people get it early. You see some bright children, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, skipping classes because they're so bright. But even if that child is common, meaning just a normal child, until he or she come into the light of understanding that God is great, that's their beginning. What is the ending? There is no ending because every human being evolves. Yes, you evolve to Jannah, the next world. This is a temporary world. But in this world, as an adult, you must stand on your own 2 feet. You and I owe a debt to God. And you have to, and I have to, pay him back. But when you say debt, not the debt you was taught in this society, you may owe an individual. You may owe the federal government. God ain't talking about that debt. Because once you out of here, they can't collect. So what debt is God talking about? He's talking about all the things he has given you. Look in the mirror. Mama and daddy didn't mold and shape you. You ever look in the mirror at your eyes? How about your nose? How about your mouth? How about your ears? How about that big head? How about the hair on the head? Did you look at your body? Allah gave you that. And it's very difficult for you to look internally, but they have x-rays today that can show you that. Who created it? You want to give it to science? Okay. That sounds good, but dig a little deeper. What do you mean, Allah? Where does science come from? Came out of the mind of a human being. Who created him? So if you understand that no one can exist, not a leaf fall from the tree without the will of God. So you have to understand that nothing exists in this world, this dunya, nothing exists without God's will. Keep in mind, brother, sister, that you didn't create anything. Everything you see in the universe, you did not create. So how does science can take credit? Science can't take credit for whoever that scientist is that not only helped to bring you out the womb. Science can't take credit for helping you to raise that child. Science can't take credit that he alone created everything you see exist, including the ships going to the moon, the rocket ships. Yes, he did do it, but he only did it because it was God's will. So all of this was here. God says, be, a billion years before it exists. So we all come in and discover what God wants us to be. That's why, mothers, you cannot abort your children. Because that child needs to be born to find the answer to cancer. That child comes into this world to find the answer to heart disease, to find the answer to sickle cell, to find the answer to racism. That's in the womb of one of your mothers. And when you bore that child, you killed the future of the human beings in all humanity. So therefore, every prophet came out of the womb. And if in fact their mother had got rid of them, we wouldn't have had Adam, wouldn't have had Noah, wouldn't have had Joseph. You would not have had Moses, nor would you have had Abraham. How about Jesus? You would not have Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the mother had aborted that child. You see how important that female is? But she has to be in the understanding that she's not getting rid of something insignificant, because God would not have given it to her if it wasn't significant. Oh, brothers and sisters, you have a right. You have a right to commit a sin. And that's a big sin. However, man nor woman can take credit for the creation of life.
Can't do it. I don't care who you are. You cannot do it. You cannot take credit for life. Only Allah, God, gives life. And only Allah takes life. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alamin. Wassalam wa salam wa salasul li kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
sallallahu wa neem. Brothers and sisters, dress you with God's name. We do that because we want you to know that prior to coming on this phone, I ask Allah to guide my tongue, so I don't be selfish. More important to be able to say things for my own gratification. And if in fact that I hurt you or put you in a position that allow you to see or understand the truth,
If I do that intentionally, then I will suffer. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift, the blessing of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant and messenger of God, which follows that salute, that salutation, the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, that is mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the Holy Quran. We say, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Once again, I reiterate, assalamu alaikum. Peace to our friends and our acquaintances, our family members, our loved ones, and our sympathizing, and we greet even the devil, the enemy, that listens in to find fault and try to destroy our progress. Yes, we greet him. We're not greeting his acts, his wrongdoing, his diabolical mind. We're greeting his nature, because he's a Muslim in his nature. He just can't comprehend that big head and took his flesh and his spirit and his soul a different direction. But he cannot touch that nature. We say Ramadan Mubarak to all you all out there today. A blessing, Ramadan. Before I continue, because I want to give you a clarity that my today of fasting, because I worked hard with the help of my wife to come off that needle. I worked hard to be able to not take those pills called metformin. They gave me 2,000 of them, and 1,000 in the morning and 1,000 in the evening. I got off the ones in the evening and still took 1,000 in the morning. I worked hard with clear and clean in my system, eating properly, taking the proper herbs, no med. I don't take medicine at all. And this came from my physician. He said, you can do Ramadan. You're off the pills. And it seemed like he was very elated. I know I was ecstatic. You mean to tell me I can do Ramadan? So therefore, I decide with my assistant, who's executive producer of these shows, and she made sure, Amira Wazir, that we are all scheduled for the right time. So she says, this is the holy month of Ramadan, and you are on the air for 2 hours. I believe you should take 1 hour, not two, during the holy month of Ramadan. And I said, you are correct. So we are scheduled for Saturday, 1 hour. I'm scheduled for Monday when I do 2 hours, but I'm doing 1 hour. And my longevity of continuity for 4 years, on Tuesday, for 2 hours, I'm doing 1 hour. And everyone else except Imam Elio Bay, he got help on Wednesday because he used to do 2 hours on this broadcast for a little over a year. And Sister Michelle came in and picked up the latter part of the hour. He does from 7 to 8, and she does from 8 to 9. And then he comes back on Thursday. Now, we did cut him down from 2 to 1, so it was good he only does 1 for the last 6 months. But here comes Friday. And when Friday comes, we have our beautiful Imam, Musa Abui, the eldest son of the, he's the eldest grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. And boy, you should hear him speak about his grandpa. He will be doing some traveling. So all of you out there that want to hear about Booker T. Washington, but what I like about him, he talks about all the leaders. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Waruddin Muhammad. He even talked about Dr. King, the Boer, Nouveau Ali. He wrote a book and mentioned those men in his book. Even Malcolm. He's a historian when it comes to the history of those who came to America, born in America, either or, and what they have done in a way of raising the deaf, dumb, and blind African Americans. So I convinced him that he should tour. There's 500 major parks, national parks. Not just any park, national parks, named after his grandpa, Booker T. Washington. But there's 5,000 schools that bears his grandpa's name. Why not tour? He should go into the schools and let them see him and touch him and get to know him. And he should go into the colleges, because that was one of the first. I was one of the first. He died young. They fascinated him. But he died young. But look what he created. Look at the legacy he left behind. When you say education, you cannot say it without mentioning Booker T. Washington. So I feel that was accomplishment on my part. And I don't need the accolades, but I want the barakats for my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was done during the holy month of Ramadan. So you will be hearing more of him, inshallah. But then today, after Friday, because I go on right after him, but we brought in a brother. I had to take his place. He has a member of his family that's in the hospital. And when it comes to our family, we're supposed to be there for him. And Abdullah will be a brother who studied the Arab era as well as Father Imam Waluddin Muhammad. And he comes on at Friday from 8 to 9. Imam Musa comes on from 7 to 8. Now, Mubi is an Imam. And Imam Waluddin Muhammad taught me, if you don't hear the language, keep moving. I hear the language in him. And then, again, I'm back on Saturday for an hour. And our beautiful sister that have joined us, Camilla Tajuddin, she'll be on Sunday evening from 8 to 9. The good thing about her is she comes on, it might be 8 here, but it's not 8 there. 7 o'clock, she's off the air. And Because why? She's on West Coast time. And there you have it. And inshallah, after the holy month, which is the blessing month, anytime you receive any gift during this month, you earned it. Allah only gives it to his loyal followers, his obedience. And we all should be a student of God. That's what makes Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam one of the most intelligent men on the face of the planet, because he was a student of God. There's no way you would read in Revelation that God said, I will teach you. He said, I will teach you in the beginning of the juice of the Quran. You will read, Allah says, I will teach Muhammad. And then towards the ending of the Quran, he says, I have taught Muhammad. So you may be a student of your mother and father. Then when you went to kindergarten, he was a student of a stranger. And when you got higher in the grammar and grade school, he was a student of a stranger. And when he went to high school, he was a student of a stranger. And then when you entered into the university, he was a student of a professor until you graduated. And now you are a student of society. But when you are taught by God himself, no one sits on that level. And you will not be able to see the world for its true self. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example for all human beings that you know you can be taught by God. That's Ramadan. You're supposed to see God for yourself. See him. Keep in mind, it's a metaphor. You can't see him, but he can see you. But you're supposed to see it in your vision, in your belief, in your character, in your heart, and in your intellectual mind. You have to be conscious of God. They're called taqwa. Taqwa, brothers and sisters, conscious of the human being. I wanted you all to know that Raymond J. Lesniak has been traveling the Islamic world, as you would say, in New Jersey. He visited over 40 masjids. He'll be tomorrow from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock there at Masjid Allah in Plainfield. And everyone should come out and listen to this senator who's been 40 years in Union County as a senator with continuity of being there for us. I've said it many times in the things he had done, but he went to bat for us Muslims in Baskin Ridge. And they wouldn't allow us to build a house of worship. And he told them, you can do it for the Jews and the Christians, but you can't do it for Islam. Yes, he stood up. And we want to thank him and honor him because we won. It's all in the papers that they secretly was preventing us to build a house of worship. And they broke all the rules. So we not only won that we can build, but the judge said it was unconstitutional, broke laws, racism, you name it, and they hit them with a
$3,500,000 settlement. $3 million. That's pretty powerful for a city. Why? They're millionaires or billionaires, especially in Baskin Ridge. Most of y'all can't even go up there and live. But we're building a beautiful, gorgeous nest here. And the brothers there that have that settlement announced to the world, we will give it away. We will give it away to charity. So I called my brother, Doc Crowley, and I, very close. We've been together for years. I've done so much for them. I said, brother, you cannot forget the African Americans. We are struggling in teaching our children. We don't have the right facilities, the right curriculum that we can afford, but we can afford. There are men and women that are struggling, trying to help abuse children, trying to keep our seniors, you know, the President of the United States cut a lot of bills. Now, that's not a billion dollars. But during this holy month, making a good suggestion for, and don't forget the African American. He said, brother, you know we will accept your opinion and what you think where it ought to go. Well, we need house of worship. We surely need schools, and we surely need to help the homeless and our seniors that need better treatment. So during the Holy Month of Ramadan, it was just put in the papers a couple of days ago. Here, building the masjid brought us $3 million and some odd dollars. But we lost the masjid on selfishness and stupidity, not being transparent. I want you to think about that, but I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about, and I only have 10 more minutes, that I constantly state on this radio, we use the Arabic words, and we just use them, but we don't have a clue what it means, and we try to teach Arabic. But we say to our Lord, we say Lord. That's the English word, Lord. But in the Holy Quran, Allah's word is Rab. Rab. Yes, it does mean Lord in English, but the real meaning of Rab is raising your children from the womb. That's what the rab means. Raising your children. Student of Imam Walifuddin Muhammad. And that's what he does. Most people think it has one meaning. If you talk about kafa, I'm going from rab to kafa. Kafa means the consciousness of the human being. So you can't call a person with no knowledge a kafir because of how they dress or what religion they belong to or what nationality. That's the stupidity. But if you tell someone not to do something that will harm one and you do it, you are a kafir. But if you're going to harm somebody, and someone cannot do that in Islam, and you choose not to, you are kafir in a good way. So yes, Rab means Lord. But Lord of what? Lord of the whole world. Everything in it. But look how Imam goes in the Quran and brings it out to us and says, it also means the raising of the children taken from the womb, the birth of the mother, and raising that, and man has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the birth of the female. Yes, we make whoopee, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
makes babies. And those millions of life germs shooting to that egg, and only one gets in. That's the will of Allah. That's the normal. And so man can't take credit, nor can science. Science wants to take care. Yes, man might pay the bill. Science may help you in the hospital and the things that will make the mother feel easy, but you can't give that to no one but God himself. So the mother knows how to care for her child. She is self-taught by Allah. She held her pregnancy, and that baby came through that womb with a lot of strains and pain, 9 months of trial and error, but she did it. But man, nor any human being can take credit. Allah created us in the womb of our mothers. Allah still creates us in the womb of our mothers. Allah created your father, Adam. When we say Adam, that means Eve, from the womb of the earth. Allah created Jesus out of the womb of the female, without the aid of a man. This is your Lord showing you, I am the Lord of all the worlds. So no one knows the depth of wrath, but he still is raising us. I know, mama, you take credit for it, and some of y'all do wonderful jobs, and some of y'all should get credit for what you have done. But that's not who's raising that baby. Now, you can interfere. You can change God's creation, and Allah frowns upon that. When you change yourself from a female to a male or a male to a female, he says, do not alter my creation, but not just the physical, the mind of the human being, divine mind. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad told you, you had a divine mind. So why are you allowing that child to grow up and go astray because you advocate Satan? You advocate no morals. You advocate hate your daddy. You advocate that drugs is the way to go. Today they teach you the child how to be a gangbanger, a blood or a crip. Allah frowns upon that. During the holy month of Ramadan, if you do it for the sake of Allah, 10 to 1, multiplied by 10. But during this month, oh my God, you got 1,000 to 1. So if you understand that, you will abstain from not only food that you need, that's a necessity. Food keeps you alive. Water keeps you alive. Sleep keeps you alive. But you're up early in the morning and you're drinking before the dawn. And you eat a little something before the dawn. And during the daylight hour, you have nothing else to do but study the will of God, because the atmosphere is lit. You can see God for your true self. But do you go and talk to him? Or do you feel you have to come through a third party, knowing that he's close to you in your juggling name? So this is our holy month. But this month is not just for Muslims in Islam. This month is for Muslims in Christianity. This is for Muslims that are in Judaism. This is for Muslims that's in Buddhism. This is for Muslims that's atheist. This is for the whole entire human race. Every human being that came through that tunnel is a Muslim by nature. We have to stop saying who's a Muslim, who isn't a Muslim. You have to be repetition and knowing the simple common sense that will take you to Jannah, inshallah. I thank you for listening to me. And once again, I reiterate, it gives me and I am highly honored. But if I say anything to hurt your feelings, I apologize. That was not my intention. And if I said anything incorrect, I'm like my dad. I slip, and I'll beg God for forgiveness and repent. But if I said something that allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, come back to the knowledge and understand your al-fitra, the nature which was created, come back to your taqwa, your consciousness, and be obedient to God. Give that to Allah. Don't give me that. I cannot take credit for that. I greet you from all the prophets, all the way from our father Adam to our father Abraham to Jesus to Muhammad, the seal of the prophet. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet and his descendants and his companions from the Arabia, at Arabic, Arabia, God's language that come out of the juice of the Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on to you, Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you for listening. This show is brought to you by New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC. Mirage speaks. It gives me great privilege, brothers and sisters, and surely I'm honored to be able to speak to those who's out there that's listening to me. And we welcome you with open arms. We welcome our brothers, we welcome our sisters and our friends, and yes, we welcome our enemy. If you do not believe that the enemy is listening, then you are not aware of what time it is. We have enemies amongst us that look like us, and we have enemies amongst us that don't look like us. We have enemies that talk like us, walk like us, and we have enemies that decide to be subtle in their understanding. They will not change, and you're not going to change them, because it's that jinn that allows them to operate in their everyday life. They can't allow their jinn. And I think many times I have said over the year, what is a jinn? Because most people don't know that. But all those who turn on this network on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, as well as Saturday and Sunday, yes, you will know from Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks will bring you that understanding. You have to give to the people that does not know the difference of the three creatures that God has created. Yes, God created these creatures. Can no man take credit for them? And the first creature was the angels. And the second creature was that jinn. And the third was you and I, human being. And those are the three creatures that was created, and two of them was placed on earth, one being the jinn and the second being the human being. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the human being to be above
the two creations. God Almighty, in his wisdom, was able to take that one that was brought out of mud, dirt, dust, and mold and shape it and breathe into it some of his spirit and allow us to come into this world intelligent. And our intelligence allowed us to be above the angel that was created to do nothing but right. Brothers and sisters, they have no other choice but be right and exact. That jinn has a choice, but that jinn cannot be a human being. He's not capable of being a human being, for he's a jinn. But the human being was created and still has a intellectual mind that allow you to be over top of all of God's creation. Why we was guardian of dice. And when God made us guardian of paradise, surely that jinn who turned devil, Satan, as we refer to him as being, tricked us and conned our father. But keep in mind that he did not curse the world, as most people think. And hopefully tonight we can clear that up, that Adam didn't curse the world. Allah didn't create a man to be over top of creation and then curse the world. Yes, he slipped, just like you slipped, just like I slipped. Every individual on the face of the planet as a human being will slip. We're not perfect. But what makes Adam different than the rest of us that just keep on slipping? For Adam repented. Did you? Do I? Do we repent when we make our mistakes? This is something that doesn't come to your mind. Matter of fact, you probably don't care, and you just living. Well, hopefully tonight we can shed some enlightening of understanding of why we was chosen and created from mud and dirt and dust to be the crown of creation. You take it for granted. Take it for granted. And there's maybe a whole lot of people out there that does not take it for granted. And all you all that believe that you're not taking for granted, then all I'm doing is reminding you. But my talk today, this evening, is to speak to those who don't know. Because those who don't know is who we're supposed to give it to. And that's what's wrong with us here in America, that we have kept this knowledge behind the door. And that's not what it's for, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name, gave us this to be able to give it back to you. You have to give it back. If you are a thief, you don't want to give that to your children if you're insane. If you are a con artist, you don't want to give that to your children. If you are a liar, you don't want to give that to your children. If you are a murderer, you definitely don't want to give that to your children. But if you got love for your Lord, you want to give that to your children. When you understand God's will, you want to give that to your children. When you're obedient to God, you want to teach that to your children. when you want to motivate your children to stand up in their spirit and stand up in their soul, you want to give that to your children. When you want to take time out to make salat prayer and worship your Lord, you want to give that to your children. And that is a metaphor to tell you all that is good, you want to give it to your child. Now, if you didn't do that, you would suffer the consequences. How? What consequences would you suffer? Oh, my God, my son or my daughter is a thief. Are you grieving? Oh, my God, my children are a liar. Are you grieving? Oh, my God. They out here murdering people. Does it bother you? Is it hurting you? Feel the repercussion? Well, if you're a normal human being, you have to. But who did it? Did you raise them properly? You see, brothers and sisters, don't ever think that the Lord of all the worlds just do one thing all the same. Punishment comes from all different directions, just like blessings come. But blessings only come to those who deserve the blessings. You got to earn it. You have to earn it. And most of us are so cold-blooded, calculated, we don't care what happens to us, for your children. In this day and time, in the 21st century, you have mothers throwing their child into the garbage can. And the child is alive, an infant. What could be on her mind that she does that? I know everybody says she's insane, she's crazy, but who made her crazy? Who made her crazy? That she is so upset that she wants to kill her baby. And she did. It's all on TV. But let me ask you a question. If a psychiatrist get into her head and figure out the burden that she had on her, whoever placed that burden could be a person that put so much pressure on her having a child without being married. It could be someone who gave her so much pressure that told her that she will die in hellfire for having a baby without a man. You don't know what was told to her that she got rid of her baby. To her, that baby was a sin to her because someone projected it. You went out there and you slipped. And you had a child. You're evil. You're no good. You low-lifed it. You're going to burn in heaven. So you made the child a monster. So the child is dead because of the mother's understanding. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, see how you can drive someone crazy with your so far to the right understanding. Now, I don't know what happened, but I can say to you with common sense, that ain't normal. But it's physical, it's a picture, we can see it. But what about the women that prevents themselves from having a child? Oh, you don't see yourself killing the children because you ain't letting one come through your womb. So you ain't having one. And you're going to do everything in your power to stop that child from coming through that womb. And what is that? Everything that God doesn't approve of. And so she did it in a way you can touch it and see it, and you did it in your subconscious mind. Oh, something is bothering your soul that you don't want to bring a child in this world. So even though you didn't have good intentions, it's the same punishment. Oh, I know that's far-fetched. Well, I didn't do it. No. Allah didn't allow you to do it. But that don't mean that you didn't have bad intentions. And you got women around here today in the 21st century feel that this world is no good. And so therefore, there's no child coming here. So let me give you another metaphor. Did you not know that they dug up the ground of the Catholic Church and found dead babies? Who killed them? Matter of fact, where did they come from? Well, their religion and what they represent was more important than let life live, the creation of God. Yes, they are so radical in their understanding of Christianity, and they call themselves none of this world, they will not let the will of God come through their womb. Isn't that amazing? This is the little simple things that Satan takes our mind off of. You're not thinking about that. Matter of fact, you probably don't care anything about that. But if I ask you about Donald, oh, you know about that. Your mind done ran over to this man that's trying to kill the birth of your children. Don't call yourself a Muslim. And don't call yourself an African-American that wants something out of life. Oh, he's cutting off everything. But you don't see it that way. All you see, he's disturbing you. And he's not going to be good for America. But you care nothing about you as an individual that own the creation that God has given you, that earth. Look in the mirror, brothers and sisters, and you will see that earth that God is talking about. Didn't you not come from the earth? That's your garden. And you're the gardener of that garden. I have heard women say, I don't have sex. And some say that because they feel, I'm not married, so I shouldn't have sex. And some women say, well, I have sex, but I ain't married. So what I want to clear up tonight is that if you don't read and study, why did Allah create you? You will not know why you are created. We say Allah. Allah means the God only. Don't fault us in Islam that we call the God. It's okay to say Lord. It's okay to say God. If that's your intentions. A lot of Muslims don't like to use the word God. But we're talking to English-speaking people. And I can use the word God, and any other man or woman can use the word God. Why? Because God knows our heart that we mean Allah.
Isn't he the God in English? But the reason we say Allah, Allah is the word of God that named himself Allah, God. You will not find no individual walk around calling himself Allah. And if you do, it's a rarity. But a whole lot of people think they are a God. But let's look at this word God. Is God the Lord of all the world? Okay, I'll give you that. But before you praise him, you got to get high. Now, which one of the gods that you chose? Did you choose drugs? Did you choose reefer? Did you choose alcohol? Did you choose gambling? Did you choose sex? Did you choose evil? Ego? Shall I go on? Which one of those gods did you choose? Because that's what guides your mentality, a God. So if you read scripture, God says in Revelations, I am a jealous God. Meaning that you call him God, but you got seven other gods. If you got all of them, but you got a God besides God. So we don't want to confuse anyone, so we say Allah. The God. So if any other God that I may fall victim to, I'm letting you know that Allah is the Lord of all the worlds that created the heavens and earth and everything between it. But Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, I take pride in saying that. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest of paradise. If you ever see me send you the word God, I take the O out, taught to me by Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And I put a little line in the middle. And I know some people say, why did he do that? But I know it gets your attention. Because if you turn that around, you're going to get DG. Of course, you know it's GD. But if I put the O in and you turn it around, you got dog. So you don't want to call God a dog or associate it with a dog. So we take that O out of there. However, it's just a little simple things with the language. The language is important. That's why in America they teach you vowels. Just like I stated and I reiterate, they got us believing in Job. Just that E, that one vowel. Job. Take that E out of there, and what do you have? Job. And that's how God talked to us. Job, you on the job. Why? Job means what? Work. First thing come to your mind, work. He was on a job, but what are you doing there? He's working. Where are you going? I'm going to the job. What are you going there for? I'm going to work. Officers travel. Police officer to another police officer. Hey, Ali. Yeah, I'm on the job. Why would he tell another officer he's on the job? He's working. He ain't going home. He ain't take time out for lunch. He's on the job. But man adopted these sayings because Allah gives it to us. Man names everything. Allah gave us that ability to name that which we see in creation. We have that gift. Where did it start? In heaven. Well, how did it start in heaven, Murad? Well, didn't you not read when Allah told the angels to bow? And the so-called angels say, I'm not bowing in mud and clay. He said, Adam, tell them their names. So we know how to name everything. We have that intelligence. So you got a job. Who you work for? I work for Verizon. Who you work for? I work for Budweiser. Who you work for? I work for Bloomingdale's. Who you work for? Well, my boss has an independent company. But Allah says in the Holy Quran, come you all workers. Wow. Come you all workers and welcome to my paradise. So now who do you work for? Do you work for Allah? Because if you work for Allah, then Allah is your boss. You see how things you use every day can bring you into the right understanding? That if you keep God in your spirit, meaning you came to the knowledge to know that your spirit is the will of God, when you have knowledge of your soul, you know God created your soul. When you understand that your nature, in which was created, is perfect, why? It's the will of God. And can't nobody disturb that but you. Now, you can't disturb your nature, but you can disturb your soul, and you can disturb your spirit. And brothers and sisters, if you die in this world, meaning a mental death, we thank the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, grant him paradise. He said we were dead, dumb, and blind. Dead. But where did he get it from? The Holy Quran. Well, what did the Holy Quran say, Murad? The Holy Quran said you must die first. I must die first. Yes, die first in order to live. See how Allah talks to us? But if you don't figure it out and connect the dot, it's simple. Well, how am I dead and I'm walking around? Allah Muhammad gave it to you. Dead, dumb, and blind. That should wake you up. Dead person walking. They made a movie called The Dead Man Walking. Meaning those gods done took you over. So you living in a dead world. You done fell in love with a god that you don't even realize. It's a god. You're an alcoholic. Dead and don't understand that you are dead to drugs. You're a drug addict. I don't care what kind of drugs you take, whether you shoot it in your arm, snort it in your nose, or take a pill. You're dead to it. You're dead to your morals, took it on as a god. You're blind, you can't even see that you did. And if someone tried to tell you, wake up, you don't hear it. Dead, deaf, and blind. So God said you have to die that death of a drug addict. Don't bring it back. Die. He didn't say rehabilitate When you rehabilitate yourself, you got to keep going, keep going. Why? Because you might have a relapse. So meaning you're still alive. But you got to kill it. You got to die so you don't ever touch it again. The honor to live. You got to die from the alcohol so you don't be an alcoholic. It's dead. Forget it. You have to die, brothers and sisters, from your low morals. You got to die. You got to die that death. Bury it. Don't let it come back. When something's dead, it don't come back. But in order for you to live, you got to die on a mystery God. If you believe that God came through the womb of a female just to prove something to us when he created the heavens and the earth and everything between it without you and I, now he got to stoop low to come out of a womb of a female to be God and name himself Jesus. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Here come Marad out of the womb of my mama. And my mama came out of the womb of her mother and so forth and so on. But now you call me a God, the Lord, or put me in front of the Lord of all the worlds. So you got two types of understanding. One that believes that he is God, Jesus. The other one believes he's the Son of God, Jesus. So now you're dead, dumb, and blind, and you chose a human being to be God or the Son of God. You're dead. And if you don't die that understanding and put it to rest and kill it, then God says, I'm jealous that you choose someone and made him equal to me or even make him my son. Now, brothers and sisters, this is powerful. This is strong. Why? Why is it? Because there's an old saying, if you believe that, I can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, I don't know why people say that. I wish you could sell me the Brooklyn Bridge. I'll get wealthy. But it's a metaphor. I know you know that's a metaphor. So it's a metaphor to you that you're dead, but you could come out of that death and live and serve God for his true self. Not picking on anyone. I'm just giving you logic. Go to God directly. Don't call your father before you talk to God. And that's another thing. Father, why do you hear in Scripture Father? Because Father gives you a metaphor. Do you love your father that planted the seed and your mother so you can live? Yes, you should respect them. But Satan don't like that. Satan does not like that you take the word father and make him superior because why he plant that seed. So you supposed to have a whole lot of respect for the word father. But in the 21st century, you do not. Most of us don't love our father. And most of us hate our father. So we got to soar away from the reality of what that word actually represented, father. that Satan made you hate that word. And surely that's a metaphor. God is not our Father. Well, yes, he is, Marat. We are created in his image. Okay. I'm going to go for that one. But let's put it in perspective. What is image? Look in the mirror. What do you look like? Are you brown skin? Are you yellow skin? Are you black skin? Are you red skin? And now there's a fifth one. Are you white? Which color skin are you? So common sense says, if you choose the black skin, shouldn't the yellow skin be upset? If you choose the red skin, shouldn't the black skin be upset? You choose the white skin, shouldn't all of them be upset? Why would God be unmerciful and choose one of those complexions to be the Son of God? So that's mathematically impossible. Because we was taught that everyone has simple common sense. That's why it's common. And every human being came in this world knowing nothing about this world. So we all have equal opportunity. Depends on where there's a will, there's a way. Some people don't care about their will and don't make a way. So some risen above others because they are more interested in how they was created and what they want out of the world. But you didn't come here with anything, and you're surely not going nowhere with anything. You come here with nothing, and you would leave here with nothing, nothing of this world. But what image is God talking about? If you recognize, brothers and sisters, the image that God is talking about, you can't see it. But everything internally is his creation. So it reflects God, doesn't it? So the reflection of God is the image. Because why? You don't know why your heart is beating. And you sure don't know when it's going to stop beating. You don't understand how your kidneys are working or your liver and where did it come from. But you can't see it. But it's there. It's only when it begins to bother you now you want to see about it. But everything that's in the internal substance of man and woman is operated by God himself. Created by God himself. And you don't even understand that those bones that's wrapped around the ribs and wrapped around the body, you need it flush. And flush had to hold it because if you come to me like a skeleton, most people are going to run like hell. So Allah had to put a flush from the earth and seal his creation. The creation of God, but in the mirror don't look like God. God doesn't look like that. But if you want to say internally, I was created in God's image. But what image is you talking about? every human being has the same thing in them. You can't operate without the heart. You can't swallow without the lungs. You can't talk without the tongue. You cannot look present without the lips. You can't see without the eyes. You can't hear without the ears. God, if you didn't have feet, you couldn't walk with the legs. Everything was created with science by the will of God. That's God's creation. So they use the phrase, I'm created in the image of God. Letting you know you can't see God and you don't know how you was created in that womb because you was nothing but a little worm. That's what it looked like. But prior to that, you was blood, semen, and water. And most females say, I'm not pregnant. Oh, yes, you are. You can't see it. Allah is the best knower, but he'll let you know. Just wait 30 days. Isn't that amazing? You got to wait 30 days. But Allah willed it before you can see it, because now you feel it. And you're regurgitating, and you're craving, all the signs. You think man did that? No, man didn't do that. So once again, God is showing you, man, you made whoopee, but you didn't make any babies. I make the babies. But some of them come in here deformed. Did God do that? Oh, no. Then what happened? Something you done. You have a right. You have a right to do something to your system that will take your child not to come out perfect, but it's still a child. It still will have their senses. But now the burden is on you to see if you are going to accept whatever comes out of there. Because why? It's still the will of God. It didn't have to live. It could have died in your womb. It chose to come out here. Now it's got to struggle. Because some babies die in the womb. And most mothers get upset because they don't understand. That baby, Allah is not going to take through the trial and error we went through because that child goes directly to heaven. How do we know that? It's because of your baby coming here stillbirth and never entered this world with his faculties, with his simple common sense, that he's not of this world. So Allah don't have to try him or her. So there's no janazah. You just put it in the earth in which it comes from. And you can say all the prayers you want to say, but that one went to heaven because it wasn't tested in this world. Now, if you had nothing to do with stopping it from coming in, it's a blessing. Go make another one. You see how Allah puts the burden on the individual? That's not my trial. I can't have no babies. Allah will never test a man that way because man cannot stand what that female goes through. She is given the blessing to give life. Every human being, including me, had to come through that tunnel. So she's a perfect specimen of the creation of God. It's we that changed that. Why? Because you have a right to. You don't have to accept God. That's what makes Satan who he is. He don't like the idea that you have the power. You have the power, brothers and sisters, to not to accept the will of God. Who gave you that power? Well, Satan said, O Allah, to you they are not worthy. Just allow me, God, to live to the final day of judgment. So you can't get rid of Satan. But where is he? you see him? Hopefully we can bring him to fruition so you would know who he is. We say, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessing of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant and messenger of God, which follows that salute and that tradition, salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, that's mentioned in the Bible. We Muslims refer to it as the Injil, and is given in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty hears the truth. We say Bismillah the Rahman the Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asuli kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salaka Allah wa deen. And these are the words that's given to every Muslim that reads the Quran, that we don't come in the name of God, as one writer wrote, Allah will bless him for his good intentions. Imam Walidin Muhammad taught us that believe in his taqsir, that the writers prior to Allah giving him the gift didn't know how to use the English language when they was defining the Arabic. Because Allah blessed him to be a scholar in the Arabic, not Arabic. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, it's two different languages. When we say the language of God, there's no other language. There's no language other than God. But in our world, you got language plural. We speak Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, German, Chinese, Japanese. We speak English, and etc. So that's the language of man, like Arabic. Arabic is the language of our brothers from the East. They speak Arabic. And there's other languages that close to them that they speak. The Persian speaks a different type of language, but it's so close to Arabic. But all that language is man, man's creation. But the Arabic is not in the Holy Quran. It's Arabic, Allah's language. So when you read Allah's language, those words is God, and it's not talking to your intellect, it's talking to your nature in which you was created, because your intellect is confused. So when you hear a brother reading to you Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, Maliki, Al-Madin. When you hear those words, that's God talking now. These Arabs didn't know anything about Bismillah, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. What's God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer? That's the English translation. And so the brother said, in the name of God, because the way he saw English. But the imam brought us closer and said, you cannot come in God's name. You're not powerful that you could come in your name. It's like you ain't powerful to bring God through your womb. So you not only can't come, God can't come through your womb as God. Now you could say that Pharaoh came through your womb and he was a God. Now I'll go for that. He chose to name himself God, and that came through your womb. But no Lord of all the world came through your womb. And brothers and sisters, as much as you understand that, you can bring Pharaoh's son through that womb. And you can say, this is the son of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is a god, so my son is a god. I'll give you that. But you can't say that a child came through the womb of Mary and he's the Lord of all the world, or he's the son of the Lord of all the world. It is totally mathematically impossible that you've been tricked. You've been stabbed. You've been bamboozled. Wow, brothers and sisters, you've been conned. So that's why this phrase, if I could sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, I can sell you anything. And you do. You buy anything. You buy the cross that goes around your neck. You got people walking around with crosses on their neck. That's to say, I am in the side of Jesus. I'm the side of the cross. Why? Because in your mind, Jesus was killed on the cross, and then he raised from the dead. So this reminds you, well, you might as well go back to Egypt or the Saudi Arabia, which they called Mecca, because every year they brought their gods in, but their crosses wasn't no little bitty cross around your neck. They were tall statues. Why? They believed in idol gods. They believed in idol gods. Now today you got a little god on your neck, a little god on your car window or mirror. Yes, because in your mind that's Jesus or the sign of Jesus. So you don't even know, because you're dead to it, you're practicing idol gods. There's nothing man-made had anything to do with the image of God. You can't make the image of God. Nobody can tell you what God looks like. For they say in Scripture, I will quote it, I didn't say it. God said, serve me. You listening? Serve me as if you can see me. Okay. As if I could see him. Then it goes on to say, but you cannot see me, but I can see you. Now, brothers and sisters, if you read that, how did you get confused that you are looking at God when you see Jesus? How did you get confused when you looked at God and he had blonde hair? And he had blue eyes. And he had pale face. Did you look on the wall and see all your black children? But there go a white man, you call him God? Did you look on your wall and you see Latino children? But on the wall you see God? Did you look on your wall and see Chinese children, Japanese children? But on your wall, you saw God with a pale face, blue eyes, blonde head, and a white face, as we call it. That's an idol god. Oh, no, it's Jesus, the Son of God. My God. Get married, black woman, and marry a white man. But you look white. Like my aunt. You look white. and have a baby. And the baby come out black. The husband wants a divorce. You tell him, I didn't commit no adultery. I didn't go outside this house. I want a blood test. And find out you didn't. It came from your genes, of your ancestors. So the baby is black. Now he's upset with you because you didn't tell me you was black. Well, that's simple common sense, but yet you can tell the children of the family that's your God. That's my God. Well, mama, he looked like the next door neighbor. He looked like the white folks we see on TV. Oh, that's your God. Don't you go against God. No, Marad, they kind of changed it now. They think that's the Son of God. Well, mama, what womb did that pale face of Jesus came out of? Oh, I know some of y'all changed Jesus to be black. Because he had woolly hair and bronze complexion. You think the white folks go for that? See, they ain't that dumb. They believe in Jesus too, but I guarantee it don't look like you. So all of this is confusing. They know you're waking up, so they let you make a black God. You make a Latino God. You make all these different races of God. Or the races of children. Oh, the whole world is all confused. And you want to be out there in that world. All I'm trying to do is bring you back to your simple common sense that things that you don't even pay attention to at all. So we're back to this cross. But now you so hung up and being dead, dead man walking, they got together and say, give him some water, holy water. Yeah, give him holy water. Water that came from Bethlehem, by hell in Michigan. Look at that water. They got a problem right now with water. But they're going to take that water and they're going to put that water through some fire called purify and sell it to you to sprinkle all over you. This is the water of Jesus. You buy it because you into the physical. Another idol God. Easter's coming, I think it's Friday, and you're going to take the palm tree, you know, the palm, and you're going to twist it and make it like a little bow, and you're going to pin it on you. Some of y'all got it in your Bible. That's an idol God, another idol, another physical to make you think you are closer to God. They sell it to you. They make billions off of you being dead. Billions. But you read in scripture, and it says, they killed Jesus not. So who killed them? Allah? If no one killed them, it was a made up thing. Because y'all were such savages back then, they had to give you something to look forward to. So you'll never believe that God is one. And these are the mythology that you grasp upon and you operate every day in this world as if, in fact, you are intelligent. But you're not intelligent, brothers and sisters. You're not intelligent at all. And we have confusion on who's the Son of God, and we have confusion on who is God. We have confusion on what is God's name. We have confusion on what religion is the right religion to practice. We have all this confusion, but the confusion is not allowing us to come together. This is Satan. So I say, to each his own. I'm not here to change your mind. Is that what you want to believe in? Believe in that. So let's deal with reality. The same way the floods came in Mississippi and Alabama, and they got floods right now. Suppose we had a flood here. The water is so high that the trucks is covered. All the tombstones that came out the ground, it looked like a tombstone in the water. But we got little boats. And we got to come together to save these people. So I want to ask you, you see that little kid up on the house and the parents up in the house? Hello, we're coming to get you. Please help me, help me. Well, let me ask you, are you Christian? Excuse me, are you Christian? No, what that got to do with it? I'm Jewish. All right, we'll be back. Hello? Yes, I need help. We'll be there. Are you Muslim? What do you mean? I'm Christian. Okay, we'll be back. I don't think you do that. You go help that human being. Whether you Jehovah Witness, whether you Christian, all of a sudden all these religions go out the window because it's called survival. We're drowning. Everybody got to help everybody. Now, I'm not into what really happened to 9/11, but hell, brothers and sisters, it brought everybody together that America was attacked. That's how they made it seem, like America was attacked. Tell you something. And I'm not here to push political ideas, but just reality. Every time there's a major upset, something happens to take our mind off it. That's what war is. If there's no war, there's no floods, and people ain't dying, then the rich don't get richer. It's got to be a tragedy. Now, an act of God, can no man take credit for that. That's not what I'm saying. The reason you see these things happen, because man designs it. Bin Laden, why did he come to America and stand trial? Gaddafi, why did he come here and stand trial? They can't allow him to come here. Because when you go on the oath here, you can tell what's really happening. Because Bin Laden was raised by America. And Bin Laden was taught everything he knows. But they didn't need him no more. So it made him the enemy. So all we wanted to do is get Bin Laden. And when we did, what we do? We clapped our hands. Gaddafi. Gaddafi had helped Africa with billions of dollars, teaching Africa how to come together as one and govern their own money. Too much power. Get rid of him. And they made us think that he swung with the fishes. You know, when they came to the Godfather and they wanted to kill the Godfather, they said, you got to look out. Luca Brasi is going to get you. They said, Luca Brasi swims with the fishes. And that's the mob. Well, what did they say about Gaddafi? We threw him in the river. He swung with the fishes. What is the difference? It's still a life. Why we bring them to trial? They can't afford that. Because why? It took billions to take that country down, Iraq, and it takes billions to build it. So who gets the money? Cheney and his association. They set for life, murdering and killing people. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to misconstrue me. That's Satan's world. And I ain't in that world. But I ain't no coward. I'm going to live in Allah's world that created. I ain't no coward. I'm turning my TV on. You know, when you turn on your TV, you can see what's happening in Japan. You can see what's happening in China, Tokyo. When you turn your TV on, you can see what's happening in Mexico. You can see what's happening in Venezuela, Panama. When you turn your TV off, you can see what's happening in Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan. You wouldn't know these countries if you didn't turn your TV on. And you got a bunch of cowards saying to you, I don't watch TV, because they're afraid. You know why they can't go through that tunnel with a bunch of homosexuals? You know why they ain't going through there, brothers and sisters? Because they're afraid they might be a homo. Hell, if that's the only way I got to get out, I'm going through that tunnel. I don't give a damn about no homosexual and their what they do. I'm a born-and-born Muslim that understand that I submit the will to Allah. I submit to Allah. I don't fear nobody. I ain't inferior to no man. Don't tell me no TV is going to govern my mind. But it will educate me that I can see what's going on. And then what happens, they come out of the third world. See, when you come out of a foreign country, you living around rats and some of the worst part, they don't call it the ghetto, they call it the slums there. It gives it a name that's unbelievable. Yes, that's why they didn't like that movie that came out of Pakistan. The Pakistanis walk with their head up high. But you ever see the way they live in their country? You ever see what, do you know that the brothers and sisters from Pakistan, you wear their hair? They cut all their hair off. It's an honor, but they pay them a little money. But I guarantee you the money they pay them over there, if you had hair that way and you were selling it to Pakistan and someone told you, I'll give you $20 to cut all your hair off, you tell them to go to hell. So over there, there's prostitution, there's abuse of women, but they don't want you to know that. But today you can turn the TV on and see it. You don't have to go there, just turn it on. Go to the right stations, and you'll see all of this. That's knowledge. Oh, I know you don't give a damn. But isn't they the children of Adam? Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a mercy to all human beings. And I know the uswa of Muhammad the Prophet because I got his uswa. It's in me, it's in you, it's in everybody. And he would never tolerate that they're suffering in Pakistan, they're suffering in Egypt, they're suffering in Saudi Arabia, they're suffering all over the country. You think Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu would have took that as something like, no, he's a mercy to all humanity. Didn't Allah say, I expanded his chest. And you looking for muscles. No, his heart. He had to spare his chest because he had the whole mercy of human beings in his heart. Yes, that's who we're supposed to be. So they come over here. They don't watch your TV. It don't speak their language. But they watch their own movies. That's why the dishes is so large. Because the dish sends them over to Saudi Arabia. The dish sends them to Pakistan. Brothers and sisters, they don't care about football. They call it football. for the soccer. You don't care about soccer. They do. Billion-dollar sports. How about cricket? They don't want to watch no baseball. They watch cricket. That's all they're interested in. Some of them are so strung out. Even though Allah, this is Allah's earth. It's daylight here. Dark here. Light in Saudi Arabia. But they go on Saudi Arabia's time. When it comes to the holiday, if Saudi Arabia say the moon was spotted over there, they break their fast. Well, you got to understand that the Arabs was not intelligent people. That's why Allah sent them one. These men was burying women. Yes, putting them in the ground alive. Because they thought it was a sin. These women couldn't even speak out. Why today they came to drive because they might hurt one of their organs and not have a baby. How unintelligent is that? No, they was unintelligent from the beginning. The desert Arabs. So Allah had to raise one from amongst them. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of them want to take credit. I want you to listen carefully, because I hear it all the time. I'm the bloodstream of Muhammad the Prophet. You know, that's like saying that I am the blood of God. Same way to Christians, just a little different. The nature of the human being is the same, brothers and sisters, but the mentality is yours. And you see where their mentality went? Their nature didn't follow that. Why? Muhammad the Prophet didn't accept the Arabs' idol gods. He didn't accept Judaism. He didn't accept them coming Jews and Christians. He didn't accept that. He ain't waving one bit in his nature. But they want to take credit for him. They cannot take credit for him. Because in the Holy Quran, listen to what Allah says. I'm going to teach Muhammad. Whoa, did you know Muhammad, prayers of peace be on him, was a student of God? But these men come over here with this baby knowledge, want to tell you that they are the blood of Muhammad the Prophet. Well, who was Muhammad's prophet's family the blood of? Their parents. And who was their parents? And who was their parents? And if you keep going back, it takes you to Adam. Adam. Are they not human beings? They're the blood type of Adam. You're the blood type of Adam. The Jews are the blood types of Adam. The Christians are the blood type of Adam. The Hindus are the blood type of Adam. Buddhism. And these are religions. I'm talking about the people. You couldn't practice religion unless you're a human being. Every human being is the blood type of Adam. How are you taking me to kindergarten and tell me you stopped that Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So it had nothing to do with his blood, fool. But it had something to do with the word of God. And the word of God was given to Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the word? The Holy Quran. Not Arabic. Not your culture. My brother, he was not raised as an Arab. Well, what was he raised as, Murad? He was raised as an upright human being. Whoa, thank you, Imam Warafi Muhammad. Tell them, Muhammad, Allah said. Order him. Because in the later part of the Quran, it said, I have taught Muhammad, meaning he got it. 40 years he was teaching them. And now they want to take credit for Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him. Well, that's normal because they've been practicing idol gods all their life. So to them, they made Muhammad their idol god. They walk like them, dress like, well, it's over here. Where did we get the beers from? Oh, Muhammad the Prophet had it. That's wisdom. Well, where do you get the clothing from? Oh, that's the way Muhammad the Prophet walked around. It had nothing to do with that. Yeah, Allah said dress modest. That means dress your moral decent, modest, man. That's why they're all confused today. That's why they're having war today, because they got off the pattern. And when you get off the pattern of God, you can't cry to man. Man can't help you. I can't help you, man. That's what Allah says. Cannot help you. You can't even call his creation, because I created the creation to obey me. So you can't even call the creation. That's what Allah says in the Holy Quran. Well, I'm trying to please you, God, until you please. That's what's bothering your soul. Allah says, then you will not be pleasing to me. Don't please me. I don't need you to please me. Please your soul. Please, that's what's bothering your soul. You know what's bothering with them? They bothered because they thought that they was the descendant of Muhammad the Prophet, and we wasn't. They thought they knew everything about the Holy Quran, and they do not. So I talk like this because I'm a free spirit. I'm on my job. Yeah, I got patience in my boss. I work for my boss. I'm dedicated to my boss. I bow and bend my back for my boss. I make 5 prayers a day in my sunnah for my boss. Who is your boss? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify his name. That's why I can do things, because I'm free. And you got men over here in America coming from a different foreign country with beads and rugs. And they were so wrapped up in what they was taught over there, they want to give it to us. Well, it didn't work, brother. Is it amazing that you say you would Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there's no democracy? In every country I mentioned to you, either you rich or you poor. There's no in-between. So that alone tell me, from Africa to Saudi Arabia, to the rest of part of the world, go all the way to China, is rulers. They tell the people how many babies they have. They just changed the law because they went against, in China, you could only have one baby. Well, guess what? They just changed the law and said now you can have 2. Why? Because they're becoming distinct. All that knowledge. But all that knowledge, they went against the pattern in which we was created. You got to get back on that pattern, brother. And I could teach this for hours in English. I read it in Arabic, every word. I remember my wife says to me, you keep repeating the words over and over, the same surah. But what she didn't know is that every word of the surah has a meaning. We was having a meeting the other day, and I was sitting listening. People think I don't listen. I listen. So the imams were talking about how different countries come together, and they recite the Quran, and they pay for the best recital. And one brother stayed on one word. If I could recollect, it was the elephant. And he showed there was 250 meanings of that surah. So I said, Well, there it is. Ain't no one man can give you one meaning of the Surah. Because Allah, He gives us enough, but you got to learn on your own. So you got sheikhs. You got men that went over and learned how to read. And they will refer to the simple things. Yes, a kafa. Can you imagine seeing a pig and you say, that's a bird? The little child says, wait, blind? That ain't no bird. Wait, call the pig a bird. Doesn't fit. Doesn't fit at all. Call a bird a dog. Just words. Doesn't have no meaning to it. So remember what Atti Muhammad said, you could be saying Fatiha for the next lifetime, and you still ain't going to get all the meaning. But we're going to start off correctly. Bismillah, Rahman, then Rahim. Now, practice that for 2 months and give me a meaning of each one of them. Whoa. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alamin. Give me that one. Give me the first level of Fatiha because it's 7. Give me the second one. But don't go to the second one till you give me enough meaning of the first. Then the second. Then the third. Then the fourth. Then the fifth. Then the 6th and the 7th. Now, once you think you got it, go back and do it again. And do not say another word of the Surah, the juice of the Quran, until you open up with that. So you think Allah just got you reciting, brother, because that's all you're doing, but you don't know what it means. Now you're in the Baqarah. And you're going to jump from there to another one. That's what you teaching. No, you got to learn it. That's why you read the Quran every day, brother. Sometimes you're on the Surah for almost 2 months, trying to learn what the Allah is saying to you. And then once you get it, now you teach it to them. Okay, you all out there, tell me what Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means. Well, we in Arabic class. Well, we don't know the juice of the Quran in Arabic. Oh, if you don't know the Arabic, you cannot be accepted with your prayers. Somebody need a smackle. No, brother. No, sister. Say, with God's name, with God's name. Learn that. Bismillah. That's all it means. Bismillah. With God's name. Do that after anything you do before you get in your car. Bismillah. Before you eat or drink your food. Bismillah. Before you get ready to speak to someone, say Bismillah. What about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Just say Bismillah. You ain't got to say nothing else. You don't have to say nothing else. With God's name is most powerful any words you can ever use. Until you get it in your heart and understand what Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is, don't go no further. So start off with Bismillah. Oh, brother, that ain't going to be accepted. Yeah, he's a fool. With God's name is not powerful. See, that's the difference. So when you say, do he know his tafsir, he was a bad man. That's how he trained his imams, to learn the meaning of God's words. Don't speak all this Arabic. I don't want to know the Arabic language. It's not going to help me to know Chinese. It sounds good. I don't want to know Russian. I got a phone now. Say it. Speak to me in French. Call it and play it back. My phone tell me exactly what you said. That's all I need. I ain't coming back here. Might be back here 10 years later. Well, I'm going to take time out of my busy schedule to learn French so I can sound good. But everybody come here to learn English. You don't know English, you can't prosper in this country. And they fool you, brother, because most of them are doctors. Most of them are engineers. And you cannot be accepted as an engineer unless you speak English. But all of a sudden, what the hell are you saying? But yeah, he makes $200,000 a year with the country. He don't talk like that to them. He talks it to you because you are fascinated over his tongue. Well, not me. I'm a student of Imam Wahid Muhammad, and he taught us to be a free spirit. We ain't hung up on no man trying to teach us. Oh, Imam Wahid Muhammad taught y'all. We're a student of his nature. And if, in fact, we don't magnify Imam Wahid Muhammad's tafsir, our children will never get it. Our children's children. When we die, that'll be the end. And they'll take you back to slavery. You know what, brothers and sisters? All that Arabic they speak. Tell me, did Gaddafi leave us a percentage of the $300 billion he left in the country? Tell me, all these sheikhs that come over here with billions of dollars, did they leave us anything? No, they don't give you nothing because they all are taught, do not help my niggas. So whether you like it or not, Donald Trump said we all niggas. Well, he didn't use those phrases. He said, how in the world that you tell me is 1,500,000 Muslims and these radical people trying to take over our country and killing us in 9/11, he said, I don't know the difference. So he's telling you, brother, he don't care about you from Pakistan or you from Saudi Arabia or you from Turkey. He don't give a damn. What he wants to do is chase you the hell out of here. And you know what's the problem with it that y'all don't understand, African-American? You're from Africa, you're American, yes, we're Muslim. But you know what's wrong? The problem is that if, in fact, he chased them out of here, they got to go back home to that hell. It's hell in those countries. They are suicide bombers. They are raping women. They beat women on the outside. They don't want their children to grow like that. That's why they come here. That's why they migrate their children here. They want to live in peace. But they all got cliques. I don't like cliques. I didn't join gangs when we had gangs. We had Aztecs, the Dukes, the Commodores. I didn't join that. I was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We didn't know nothing about no clique and didn't give a damn about them. Now today we going to accept cliques. You over here talking about you into politics. Well, brother, you're going to hell. This is not what the Rasuli wanted. Man, take that bird and put him on a plane. Send him back home. Because he going to get us in trouble. Anytime you hear an imam talking about that, you should report him. I think something wrong with this bird. Anybody talk like that in this day and time should be watched because he's a danger. I know he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but you talk like that, something wrong with you. Then why are you in our country? Go home. He can't go home. He's a coward. He's a chump because he can't make no money over there. He can't get no education over there and afraid what they might do to his daughters. Well, that's why that girl throwing her child in the garbage can. She don't want to live in this world. She not crazy. You made your children crazy. That's why they don't like me, because I could tell it. I'm all man. And brother and sister, as much as I tell them, because that's how I talk, I tell those who grew up with me that became self-gratification. That's all they live for, their self. They're giving, or they take money. Just understand this. Someone took all your money away from you. Let's say $1 million. $1 million of your hard-earned money, blood, tears, and sweat. All your money. Then a coward sells your building from up under you. A coward. Yes, he's a coward. Yeah, he's a chump. I don't give a damn about him because he's a thief. And then one play like he wasn't with him. Another coward called himself an E-man. They steal your money, and look what they do. They take $1 million and give them $100,000 to shut up. And they take it. They take the money, brothers and sisters. Took the money. That's shut up money. How in the world are you going to take my masjid, and there's no repercussion, then you sell my masjid, and then you come back and give a new clique that created a new clique. They got a new clique, meaning they form a new corporation, and now they want to give an event to charge you with your money. They doing it with their so they don't feel guilty. No, because if the money sits there, it's going to run out anyway. Give them 6 months and it's gone. That's right in our family. I call like I see it. And you go for it. And who's going to support it? Bring them all together. They might have 100 people. You know, let me show you the reputation we're getting in North. A group of brothers came over here and went to the event. But they didn't see none of us. All the men they grew up with and walked with and talked with, they didn't see them. But they did see people that came from different parts of the country. What happened in North? Where are the real men at? It's like saying, where the army? Where's the brothers that stood up for Newark? They weren't out. Can you tell me what happened to Newark? Do you really care? Yes, I care. Something died here? That's a shame. That's a disgrace. And then you wonder why a person come in and takes a sakat. What, we want to kill him? Hell, if you up there preaching and you allow drug dealers in your place, and you allow drug dealers hanging around, and you allow killing in front of your masjid, well, the man was hungry. He said, hey, he don't give a damn. I'm going to take his sakat. I wouldn't touch that man. That's a wake-up call. Where's your security? Hell, you wouldn't even bury a brother that put a whole lot of money in there. So Allah let someone rob you to wake you up. The same way he robbed there, he can rob you as an individual. They don't care nothing about you. I was a youngster. I saw Dracula, 9 years old, priest pull out the cross and said, back, back. Stepped back 3 times, and then he jumped at him and grabbed him and bit him, sucked his blood. I said, oh, my God, he had the cross. How could Dracula not back up? He's afraid of the cross. And as I got older, I realized it had nothing to do with that piece of wood. It had something to do with your faith. So it has nothing to do with your Assalamu Alaikum and your Arabira. It has nothing to do with it. The man knows you ain't got no damn faith. So he robbed you. That's why they sell drugs in front of you. They hang on the corner, right 2 feet, not 2 miles, 2 feet away from you. One brother said, we being cursed, split up, we have nothing, and we let a coward that lives out of town. First, they all scattered. I guarantee they ain't scattered when that money comes, but look how pea brain they are, as if they ain't going to pay. You see, we say Allah is sufficient, because I'm telling you right now, they just escaped for someone going in that house, and then they see, was it worth it? And every one of them are cowards. Never did nothing in the first experience, was chumps then and is chumps now. A bunch of cowards. Rip y'all off. Some directly and some indirectly. And so they thought the repercussion was coming, so they scattered. Went down south, went to Atlanta. But they all merged back to collect the money. And let me tell you something that they ain't telling you. That when the sisters went and got their belongings, it was in the garbage can. And when they went in the garbage can, they saw the Holy Quran. They saw their rugs. They saw all the things that broke their heart. And they say to the people who brought it, why did you do that? So I'm a Hindu. I don't care about that, and they didn't care about us, so they sold us a building and lied. The roof needs fixing. There's no air conditioning. Was stolen. It's flooded in the basement. They ripped us off. So the hell with us, the hell with you all. No, you can't come and get it. Oh, they didn't tell you that. And the imam was called by the sisters, can we go, I'll go get it. Didn't go get anything. And you wonder why you in a restaurant. Hey, you want to be a part of stupidity, blind, deaf, and dumb. You want to die a death? You want to kill your spirit? You want to kill your soul? Let me tell you what you remember what Deen Muhammad taught me. I said, brother, man, when a man don't want nothing out of life and complacent and just do anything, what happens? He said, kills his spirit. It dies with him in this world. It doesn't move on? No. So you want to die in this world? Go ahead and die in this world. Why? You ain't taking me with you. Because we bringing in the president of the United States of America. And we're not bringing the president of the United States over here just to shake his hand. But if our brothers understood that the president of the United States is going to get behind whoever the candidate is of the Democrat, and I believe it's Hillary Clinton, but we got power in this country because we the sleeping lion. We the secret weapon because we don't vote, but we should vote this time. And your children should vote this time. Because if you don't come out, you're going to catch holy hell with Donald Trump. And don't say you wasn't told. So we have to come out. Allah is forcing us to be a part of government. So if our brothers want to stand up, then you should push that button to sign that contract to give your name, your zip code, and hit the button. You'll be seeing it, and we want the whole country to do it. We want Ummah. They only want 100,000. I told the brother, now that I know that we can go to everybody, we're going to bring 1 million. It's 1 million of us, because we got to take a stand and show Donald Trump he can't come against El-Islam. El-Islam was created by Allah. Allah didn't create these other religions. The other religions are not in that right side of the Quran. It only says one religion. And Allah says, if religion you want, listen to Allah talk to you. If religion you want, I have created El-Islam to be your true religion. He created Islam to be our religion. And I perfected it to be perfect. Yes, he didn't create Judaism. He didn't create Christianity, Buddhism. No, they were not created. Allah acknowledges it in the Quran. And that's what Yusuf Ali was writing about, the religion there. He acknowledged it, that there is other religion. He didn't mention their name. He just said other religion in Arabic. But he didn't say Christianity, as some people get technical. I had a brother. Let me show you how far off we are. I mean, they grow up with you. They came through the same trial and error we went through. I had a brother said that Yusuf Ali Quran is wrong. Who told him that? He don't have his own mind. That's why they can't grow. They live like peasants. They don't have nothing. All they do is make babies and leave their wives and run from one woman, and they think they Allah gonna reward them. Allah left them. You leave Allah leave you. He gives you no more. He gives you no more, brothers and sisters. He gives you no more. They dead man walking. Look like graveyards. You go to the masjid, it's like a graveyard. No development, no growth. They can't produce anything. And you follow that. Because why? It's power. Can't cut, live, fight, ball, fight, ball, on the house, oh, that makes you powerful. Because you control men and drill women. You the cop. Yes, sir. Take charge of this post, brother. All perfectly properly. Yes, sir. Walk your post in a perfect manner, sir. Yes, sir. And you was a coward. The same man giving you an order, they produce nothing. But they can order you. Oh, that don't work today. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't let the foreigners in. I see it. They hooked on foreigners. Let me call my sheikh. Sheikh ain't got nothing. Can't help him with his rent. Can't give him no money. But let me call my sheikh. Yeah, they don't want me to talk. See, they thought that I wanted their building. I'm telling you, when you learn this, can no four walls or roof hold us? If I had the potential building, my understanding of the right side of that Holy Quran taught to me by Imam Wallerstein Muhammad, his tafsir, ain't enough people, too many people won't be able to get in that building with me. But on this airways, from Monday to Sunday, 2 hours a day, we talking to the world. You see the difference? That's the masjid. Abu Masjid. Abu Masjid Allah. What does Allah say? My own earth. What part did you miss? We can go to China. We can go to Africa. We can go to the Philippines. We can go to England, France. More or less the whole country. Dalai Lama. New Africa. Excellent Enterprise. LLC. That's who I am. That's who this community is. And we want to build. I just got a call saying we're afraid to come to North, but we got 200 million. Can we go anywhere else? I mean, go anywhere you want to. Don't stop me that you afraid of North. Who want to build North up if we don't? Oh, I know. Build up your little masjid, your little home, your little pea brain. We're going to build up this whole country. We just beginning. I see the light. I got farsight. I'm the type of Muhammad. I'm the type of my father, Abraham. I'm the type of my father, Adam. They was prophets. I can prophesy. I know you think I'm out of my mind, but it seems like I've been successful. And this is why I always like to teach the woman, go get you your husband and stay in paradise and have some insurance. Your husband is your insurance. You thought insurance mean insure yourself by the Caucasian. Yeah, you're supposed to get that insurance too. I mean, don't be no fool. But how are you going to ensure your obedience to God if you don't wake up to a man? If you don't have a man in your life to keep you solid, you ain't no match for Satan. And when he hits you hard. See, it's like the tax man. Now, he know you messing up, but he don't tell you. He builds a case against you and allows you to stay wrong. Then next you do, bam, he got you. And he hit you hard, take everything. Ask Red Fox's family. He takes everything. Has no feelings for you. That's Satan. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, want for your brother that which you want for yourself. That's a powerful saying. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers of peace upon him, said, you're a mirror of one another, meaning if you look good, your brother should look the same way. Be a mirror of one another. Line up 1,000 mirrors, put 1,000 in front of them, all look the same. We should be the same feelings in the way of loving our neighbor, same spirit as each other, the same soul as each other, as the same nature. No difference from us. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace be upon him, said, if you see your brother wrong, help him. Help him to do what? Help him to do right. Don't let him keep going wrong. So this radio show may step on your feet. It may shock and amaze you. But we hope it will wake you up. Tomorrow you have Elio Bay, who's going to have the Tassir of Imam Wadisti Muhammad. We recording the Tassir, so a chalk can't come by and tell us what we can't do. We don't need the imam's voice to say his words. It's the word of God. It's not the individual. They ain't try to kill Jesus physically. Jesus dead. They try to kill the word of Jesus and alter it. We ain't let nobody take the tassir of Imam Wadisti Muhammad away from us. We declare war against you, brother. And we ain't talking about killing you. We're more civilized now. There's more ways. See, one thing about me, I know how to fight. I was a physical fighter, and now I'm an intellectual fighter. I don't lose. Ain't nobody taking the tassir of Imam Wadisti Muhammad so our children can't hear it. I don't give a damn who you are. I say it openly. Because that's who I am. And the thing about it, I got men who toughen and rougher and do things that I won't do. But I try, as long as I'm alive, I maintain them. They trust me. Nah, brother, we can't do that, but we're going to get them. And we're going to get them the proper way. You see, when you got a group of men, or he's with his wife, you don't attack that person. That's his pride. Catch them by themselves, like 4 o'clock in the morning, when they walk out their door, or they make a mistake and wander off, that's when you get them. Now you'll see the real man in them. There ain't no help around, because you got to go to the grocery store, you got to go to the hospital, you got to go get something. Ain't nobody going to guard you, 24 hours. That's how I was raised. Get it when they least expect it. One brother come to me and said, brother, could you put a hit on me? That's a damn lie. A Caucasian. I put a hit on him. I said, did you know there's a hit on you? He said, yes. I said, you know what I mean? We don't fight like that. We don't warn the enemy. Hey, I'm coming. I'm coming to put a hit on you. That ain't the way you work, man. I love talking to you all. All I want to do is help you to raise up in your spirit and your soul. I believe I can take you all to the world. The world will respect you. We come together collectively. I can show you $1 trillion if we all would come together. It won't cost you nothing more than $100, but we will be building. We will be building large. And why we want to build on the East Coast and Chicago, because Chicago is where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came from, and Chicago is where Imam Wadisi Muhammad resided. So it means something to us. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. That's like Mecca, because that's where everything was born as far as the African American. Now, you know Mecca's in Saudi Arabia, but Mecca means, the Kaaba means connection. That's where we all are connected. See, Allah got us all as one, and we don't even know it. Everywhere in the world, we bow towards Mecca, Saudi Arabia, the sacred mosque. If that ain't unity, you tell me what isn't. The problem is we have not defined it in our intellectual mind. Because if we did, then all of us that turn our head towards Mecca should come together as one. $100 from 10 million of us? Come on, brothers and sisters, you got $1 billion. Well, there's nothing we cannot control, but we will not come together. But that's my job. I believe that Satan is no match to Allah. So Allah created our religion. First was Judaism. That's a little over 600 years. And Christianity, 550 years. And you got Buddhism, 250 years. But El-Islam came 1,400 years ago, a little over 1,400 years ago. But the word of God didn't change. Allah didn't change the word of God, brothers and sisters. Allah is consistent. He didn't come here to change anything other than what you said wrong about God. All that other nonsense, it doesn't matter to Allah. It's going to stay out there.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين